Hi, my name's Pete Banton, and I'm the co-founder of the Awaken Life Project here in Portugal. And I'd like to welcome you to this new podcast, which is named after my recently released first book called The Fire of the Heart. In this podcast, I'm going to be exploring the nature of an authentic spiritual awakening and its potential implications in these tipping point times we are living through together. I hope that you will find these podcasts illuminating and provocative, and most of all, I hope that they'll ignite a big and potentially all-consuming fire in your heart. Bom dia from the mountains of central Portugal. And in this podcast today, I'd like to speak about what's going on right now in these crazy tipping point times, and going into a particularly controversial subject, which is this whole matter of what's commonly called conspiracy theories. As you're probably aware, if you're venturing anywhere beyond the mainstream media narratives about what's going on with the coronavirus situation, you will know that there are all kinds of other explanations and theories about what's happening. And if you take the time to explore, there's also a lot of empirical evidence backing up some of these assertions that, of course, conflict with the mainstream narrative that we're all being told and all the reasons we're being given for being in this lockdown, more or less globally. This term, conspiracy theory, we hear it all the time from the mainstream media. And what you might not know is that that term was invented by the CIA after the assassination of JFK. In 1963, I believe it was, when people were starting to question the official narrative of what happened there. They invented this term, and of course it got disseminated through the media machine as a way to ridicule and discredit anything or anyone who might be challenging official narratives. Now, of course, there's a whole spectrum of so-called conspiracy theories, from things that are quite fanciful or not very well researched, or just shoddy kind of ideas put together by people that want to confirm their own confirmation bias. But there's also a lot of independent researchers and journalists out there that are doing all kinds of deep and also empirically driven research, connecting dots through logical deduction. And many of these sources are now getting censored on their internet platforms, YouTube, Facebook, etc., during this time. I've been researching this stuff for many years, and I'll just be quite blunt that I don't believe anything the news tells me, not without serious questioning anyway. And I do encourage my students and those that are interested in spiritual awakening in these tipping point times, as I call it, to actually question everything, not only in terms of their own mind and their own self-images and all of their own ideas that they've inherited from, you know, parents, culture, everything we've just picked up as we've gone through our lives. It all needs to be questioned if we want to free ourselves from that which is false and limiting. But I also encourage people to take that investigation, you know, out there into the whole domain of what's actually going on in the world and what we're being told about what's going on. Because I think that's a healthy attitude to have if we want to be an awakening human at any time. But especially in this time when we're being barraged by so much information, and when the sort of global media machine has become kind of so all-pervasive. You know, that's certainly something that's never happened before to the degree it's happening now. So what I wanted to share with you, instead of me speaking more on this theme just directly through this podcast, I thought I'd share with you a clip from a men's meeting that we had here at the Awaken Life Project Ashram last weekend. And in that meeting, one of my students asked me how spiritual awakening and exploring what is actually going on in the world and also uncovering potential corruption and many ways in which we might be manipulated and have been manipulated. He was really asking me, how does that all fit together? Because he, as perhaps is true of some of you, did pursue some of these subjects in the past, you know, since a lot more information was been available online. And he found that unearthing a lot of the possible corruption that was going on in the world only served to make him somewhat cynical and even depressed. And he didn't feel that was a healthy thing to be pursuing. So he was really asking me, how does that all fit together? And if you listen to this clip, you'll see my answer and get a sense of my own story with this whole arena and where I'm coming from. I'll tell you how I see that it all fits together. But this isn't to say that anyone or any of you should necessarily be interested in exploring it. That's up to you. Right? So I'll just tell you a bit about my story, why I started exploring this. So as you all know, I was involved in a very radical and progressive spiritual community for 13 years. So I was there from 1993 until 2005. So up until 2001, I had no interest whatsoever in politics or economics or anything to do with the world, really. All I was really interested in and concerned about and giving my energy and attention to was enlightenment and spiritual awakening. But then 9/11 happened. And so I was in this community when 9/11 happened. And, you know, of course, everybody was believing the mainstream narrative about what happened there, which you're all aware of. And there was this guy who came to stay in the ashram because we would be open to people, a bit like we have volunteers here. You know, people would come and stay in the ashram and live along with the community. And I got talking to him at lunchtime one day, and he gave me this book. It's on our bookshelf in the library, and it was called Crossing the Rubicon. And crossing the Rubicon, it's a Greek symbol for like crossing over, you know, and then a point of no return, like a tipping point. And without going into details, this book was all about 9/11 and oil, very much about big oil and drugs. They put it in a very big context. But this book is written like a court case with minute detail. And for anyone, I believe, who would read that with a logical mind, they would have no doubt that 9/11 was an inside job. So I read this book. I was reading it at night before I went to bed. It was a bit like reading a thriller before going to bed. And as I say, you just have to take my word for it. The book is full of empirical evidence. It's not theory. It's like phone calls, it's data to do with everything from the military to the air traffic controllers to Dick Cheney, what he was up to, Bush, all of it. There's incredible detail. And so then I started to speak about this to my friends, my spiritual brothers and sisters. And to my surprise and shock, none of them were interested in even looking at the evidence. I'll never forget one of my closest spiritual brothers. I showed him the book. I said, hey, I think you might be interested to have a look at this. Just have a look, you know.
Nobody in that spiritual community was interested in even looking at any evidence that would question the official narrative. Even, and that includes my own teacher. In fact, I was ridiculed by him and by many of my spiritual brothers and friends. They didn't even want to look. And so this had quite a big impact on me at the time. I was astonished because we prided ourselves, you know, the foundation of our lives together, just as is the foundation of our lives together, was being interested in what's true more than anything else. So this was a phrase, a common phrase of my teacher at the time, Andrew Cohen. It was a common phrase in his teaching. If you want to be free, you have to be more interested in what's true than anything else. You have to be willing to face everything and avoid nothing, right? So that makes sense, right? So what I realized was, well, two things happened for me at that point. One was, I suddenly realized that what we're being told, what we had been told, and then, you know, potentially a lot of what I believed and had been taught at school and all the rest of it, suddenly it was thrown into question. What's really true? What is the truth? And so it started with 9/11 for me. But then we have this phrase in English. I don't know if you have it in Portuguese. Then I went down the rabbit hole. So do you know that phrase? It's from Alice in Wonderland. You go down the rabbit hole and one thing leads to another. And so ever since then, it's been a kind of secondary interest of mine is to research and find out what's actually true in the world out there, you know, what's actually really going on. Because after a little bit of research, it became clear to me that the mass media is completely controlled by 6 corporations, all owned by the same powerful people. And so nothing that you're being told on the news and on TV is necessarily true. I don't believe any of it. You know, there may be, of course, certain facts and dimensions that are true, but it's a propaganda machine. That became clear to me at that time. And what also became clear to me at that time was that how could it be that people who were so committed to spiritual awakening and were willing to question everything when it came to questioning their own minds, right, and their conditioning and their tendencies, right, just like we're involved in, how could it be that people who have the courage and the interest and the humility to question who they are fundamentally and question, you know, our psychological and cultural conditioning? And I was living with some very courageous people. This was not an average spiritual community. It was quite an extraordinary group of people. And a number of those people are teachers, spiritual teachers now in their own right. How could it be that those same people were completely afraid of questioning the narratives that they're fed by the media? Yeah, but everything we've been presumed to be true. Do you see what I mean? I realized there's a big cut. There was something that didn't make sense there, because these people will be willing to question the narrative of their own mind in terms of all the stories the ego mind would tell them, but they were not willing to question the narrative that they were being told by the powers that be, the mainstream media. And actually terrified of it. So that's how it all started for me. So it's not something that I... it's something that just happened, you know. I mean, I'm kind of amazed myself, because as I said, before that time, I didn't really have much interest in geopolitics or what was going on in the world. But I began to realize that we were living in a matrix, just as the movie so cleverly portrays, that is largely, very largely, up for question. In other words, a lot of what we presume to be true, what we've been told is true, what we've been taught at school, what we've been taught through history, through science, through media, all of that. It ain't necessarily true. Some things may be true. So basically, for me, I just became very interested in finding out what is true. Or perhaps more accurately to say, more interested in discovering what definitely is not true. And then leaving room for what might be true. Right? There are many people who are interested in all that kind of thing, you know, like finding out about all the corruption in the world and politically and in the Vatican and all of these places. But they do it from a place where they don't have any spiritual context. So then those people, they can be transmitting a message where, you know, they're discovering a lot about what is relatively true in terms of how the corruption and distortions in the world, but they're not in touch with any kind of absolute truth or any kind of positive ground or solution, you could say. Do you see what I mean? So often the impact of doing that kind of research, when you don't have access or you're not doing the work yourself on your own corruption, right? You're just saying, you're looking out there and going, oh, look, the system out there, look at the bankers, look at Monsanto, look at what they're doing, look at what Bush, whatever, you see? So a lot of people, probably most people who are engaged in this kind of research, why it seems to lead to cynicism, perhaps, is because they're just looking, saying the problem's out there. Do you see? You're with me? And obviously I'm not doing that. I think that's foundational, because as long as you're presuming that the problem is only out there, well then, that's the ego, and even if you learn a lot about what's true relatively, there's still no fundamental transformation of human consciousness. So, to answer your question, the way I see it, you see, is that it goes both ways. Do you see what I mean? So, in terms of the fundamental interest in what's true, because we could say that's a good way to describe the awakening process. It's being more interested in what's true than how I feel. Right? It's being more interested in what's true than how it feels to confront my own selfishness. Right? My own darkness, my own lust, pride, right? We all know what that's like, right? It's like you have to face something we could say is dark in ourselves to truly become an expression of the light. I know you all understand this. So this is why there's no light without heat. That's why we have to be willing to face into what is false and wrong and untrue from the ground of light, and then be willing to burn it up in the fire of the heart, and then this body mind actually starts to transform potentially into a vehicle of what we could call light, yeah, or consciousness. But it's my conviction that the spiritual process is still in the Western world. And I say the Western world because that's more of the world that we're aware of. It's still very narcissistically focused. In other words, to different degrees of sincerity, you know, people are wanting to discover the peace and happiness, the joy, the freedom. They want to free themselves from their fears and desires, you know, from their own ego in that sense. But not many people have the courage to actually shine that light out into the world and begin to question the narratives out there. And why? Why? Because people are afraid of being outcast, of being ridiculed, of being crucified, whenever people challenge me on this question, I always bring up the example of Jesus. You know, apparently Jesus said, "Thou shalt not judge," on the one hand, but he also turned the tables over in the temple. Right? He was a radical. He was a revolutionary. He was calling out the corruption in the society that he was living in. So, in terms of that interest, and that this is my own experience of it, that's really what it's about. And as I said, I don't feel that everybody should be that way, because we all have, let's say, certain interests, you know, and we're attracted in certain areas of life. So, you know, it's just up to you guys how interested you are in questioning what's actually going on in the world. But the reason that I shared a bit more with you guys in the email, and we shared a bit on the Sangha forum, is because of what's happening in the world right now. And I think everybody who presumes themselves to be, you know, an awake human being to some degree has to be willing to question what we're being told about what's going on right now. Because if you're not, well, then why not? Why? What are you afraid of? You know. So, as I always say with these things, I don't want anybody in the Sangha regarding me as a teacher or an authority on these matters. Yeah, this is just an area of my own interest, and I've been researching independently now for almost 20 years. So, I'm quite confident I've discovered a lot about what is definitely not true. And quite a bit, I'm convinced, that is true. And then there's quite a bit that I don't know. And I don't think it's possible for any human being to know the whole picture. As I said, I don't want to be regarded as an authority in this matter. But what I would say to any of you who are interested in questioning the mainstream narratives is you have to be willing to do the research to whatever degree you're interested, and you need to become a free thinker and don't believe what anybody says, including me. You see, now one of the reasons this is a very positive time, I feel, and this is happening globally, is because normally most people don't have any time to question what they're being told by the mainstream media. Everyone's so busy, right, as I imagine many of you are. But one of the very positive things that's happening right now is lots of people are having more time to get on the internet, to start looking at independent media sources, independent researchers, and a lot more people are starting to find out and question the prevailing narrative about this whole coronavirus situation. I'm not suggesting everybody should be as interested in this as I am, for example, but I do think it's important that you at least be willing to question, and you don't just blindly believe what you're being told. And that, just to go back to what you brought up, Ricardo, I think you were saying in the past, you know, when you'd maybe looked into some of this stuff to whatever degree, you just felt it was very dark and then it would take you away from your own positivity or your own heart. But you see, if that happens, that just shows that you're not actually rooted in the heart. You see? Because if you're really rooted in the heart, if you're really rooted in and as consciousness itself, you're in touch with a context that transcends this world and everything that's happening in this world. And then potentially you're able to face everything from the brightest possibility to the darkest. Because we are living in a world of polarity. We're not in heaven. It's not supposed to be heaven here. It's a world of light and dark, up, down, male, female. It's all a world of polarity. But if we don't want to face into the darkness, both in ourselves and into the human species collectively, then we put a limit on what's possible for ourselves individually and collectively. Because the shadow has to come into the light, individually and collectively. Whatever we don't want to face, whatever we want to avoid, will remain, will continue to influence us and control us individually and collectively. You see? So from my perspective and how I see it, there's no separation. There's no difference, ultimately, from exposing the shadow, both in this direction and in that direction, and both individually and collectively. It's all one awakening process. And I do believe that in this time, and I feel this is why this whole global lockdown is a tipping point, I do believe, I intuitively feel, that more and more people are starting to embrace awakening on a much bigger scale. In other words, it's not just about me feeling better or me getting over my shit, you know. It's about exposing the shit that we've been living under for centuries. So, to me, that's how it all comes together.
So I hope you found that audio clip interesting and compelling and perhaps provocative. And there's much more that we explored and I'd like to explore on this topic in the next few podcasts. So stay tuned and let's see where this journey takes us. So thank you very much for listening. That's it for today. If you would like to find out more about my book, The Fire of the Heart, you can go to thefireoftheheart.com, where you can also download 4 free chapters. If you'd like to find out more about the Awaken Life Project, then go to awakenlifeproject.org or our Awaken Life Project Facebook page, where you can find out all about our ashram, extended spiritual community, retreats and other events, and our adventures living off-grid in the mountains of Portugal. So keep on keeping on until next time, and as they say in Portugal, até já.